Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio and together partners at Amity Kett.
Today, we're going to be talking about color selection. Color selection ain't for the faint of heart. So that's related to choosing paint colors and how that relates to when we're talking about colors. We're also talking about, you know, a lot of times clients will call us and they'll say, what color do you have in mind? And we have to ask the question, what do you mean? Do you mean the color of the roof, the color of the stone, the color of the painted siding, the color of the interior? What are you referring to? Usually they're referring to paint color. So just to clarify, there's a lot of colors to think about, and that's just one of them. So exterior, let's talk about that first, Diane.
Okay, yeah.
What's your experience with that?
So a lot of times when we're starting work on the exterior, and usually when we do our 3D model, actually we usually try to keep it in very bland colors when we're first presenting the designs because we don't want people distracted by the color. I mean, if we made it green, they'd say, oh, I really just don't like green. And then they don't like, you know, they're not looking at what you're looking at. So we try to keep it in just tones and shades of gray and white so people aren't distracted by that. So it's definitely a huge thing picking the color of your house, right?
That's a good point. I didn't think about that, but it's when people are looking, you want them to be looking at the form and the shape of the house, not.
Yeah,
that
not
they
getting
hate
distracted
green
by that.
Or mm-hmm. they hate blue. So that's a good point.
I wasn't even thinking we would have black shutters or, you know, things mm-hmm. like that, definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so when we get to the point where we're selecting colors on the exterior, it's usually after the outside siding or stucco, stone, everything has gone up, is when they start wanting, you know, to paint it. And because also they want to try and paint like the fascia to get the roof on.
Right. So they need to know what the roof material
right.
is and see that.
Mm-hmm. So we have to kind of make sure that we're okay. We may have actually selected everything before, but again, it's just good to look at it and make sure you still like it before we go and actually install it. And some of the builders I work with, which is just fantastic, will put kind of mock-up walls up for us with the, if there's stone or brick on there, the type of siding. And they'll put a window in there, so we have the window color. They'll do a little bit of the roof, and it's really helpful because you can see everything all together.
Now, that's kind of like a little set design, like they set
yeah.
up a wall in the
uh-huh.
yard, and
yeah.
everybody can stand around and look at it, and it looks like what the house will look like.
Yes,
all
and
the
it
same
is
materials.
Totally worth it. Now, they do that on commercial sites all the time, but in residential, it's not as common practice, but it's just really helpful and fantastic when we do that. And you can keep painting it different colors. You can say, this is the color we picked, and you paint a whole bunch of that siding the color, and then you go, oh, no, I don't like it.
Yeah, so sometimes, too, just now that we're thinking about it, I'm remembering some projects where we've done it just with the stone, even before we've done the painting, because stone selection's tricky to get that color right. And, you know, you don't want your house to look like a giraffe, or maybe you do, but you definitely want to know what your house is going to look like. And I think mock-ups would help with the understanding the scale of that
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah, there's also the different size stones you're going to use. We refer to them as the 4, 6, 8 kind of different sizes. And sometimes we will go to stone yards and look at stone. Or a lot of times the best thing is to just drive around and find stone you like on someone's house. And the mason is always able to tell where that stone came from and what the mix is and how to get it. So picking mortar color is also tricky too. So yeah. Definitely, just even talking about stone and color is always something.
We can do another podcast probably on that.
Yeah.
Because that's a tricky one. But yeah, just to remember, I guess that's just that, you know, there's other colors to think about. It's not just the
right.
paint color.
Yeah,
it's how
the
they
exterior.
Relate to each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have a front door, maybe a garage door. Maybe there are shutters or maybe not. There's all kinds of different, you know, the trim color. So a lot of times what I like to do is I pick about 20 colors to get samples of. Now, they have to be painted on individual boards, preferably larger ones, at least 12 inches by 12 inches, but maybe a little bigger. So then we can move them around on site because you want to look at it in shade, shadow, and you want to look at it in full sun. It might be a rainy, cloudy day. It might be a full, bright, sunny day. So you definitely want to look at those different colors and all the different lights. And you'll immediately start to get rid of some and narrow it down to maybe two. Or maybe you don't like any of those. You decided, no, I didn't even want to go in the gray direction or the blue direction. And so then we go and pull some more greens and maybe you want whites. And how many whites are there in the world? Many.
There was a lot of whites. That's true.
So in fact, the other day we were looking at, we narrowed it down, snowbound, panda white, and I keep wanting to call it coffee, but I think it was something
Swiss
latte.
Coffee.
Swiss coffee. Swiss latte.
I don't know.
Anyway, it didn't look anything like coffee, but it had just enough of a tint. I mean, that's actually the one we went with. So, you know, it's and we looked. We spent about 2 weeks on it and looking at it in different light and coming back to it and visiting it. And that's also another thing. If the builder is pressuring you to pick a paint color within a day or two, that's not good. They should definitely bring that up well, you know, a few weeks before they actually need it.
Yeah.
So that
I think you can also, I remember when we were doing my sister's house, we drove around neighborhoods, other neighborhoods far away, and just drove around looking for the perfect white and going up and ringing doorbells and saying, what white is your house? And that's another approach. Mm-hmm. It takes a little more time, but you get to meet a lot of nice new people and kind of figure out what it is and really study it and figure out maybe you like a house. Maybe this is a house you're copying, whether it's on the internet and you're looking at images of it or in real life. But really think about what is it? It's probably the combination of those colors. And yeah, maybe you like that house there, like you're saying, but maybe it isn't going to go with your roof color. Or maybe you want to change that roof color, which to Diane's point, is exactly why you want to bring that stuff up early, because mm-hmm. you may have to make some choices.
And we'll also have roof samples there to look at the color against it and everything. So,
yeah.
And also I want to talk about the fascia, because a lot of times people don't know what that is. So that's that kind of 1x6, 1x8 piece that runs along the edge where the roof is kind of touching
the vertical
part of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that's where a lot of times we need to get that painted before we can put the roof on.
Yes. And I was going to say it's helpful to me, even just in this field, is to always – I'll go online or something and just print it a picture of all of the parts of a house, because there is the window sills, there's the windows themselves, there's the screens and they have frames on them, there's the, you know, siding, there's the fascia, there's the soffit, there's the corbels on the side of the house. So, you know, there's a lot of graphs you can find online that kind mm-hmm. of indicate and point out all the different parts of your house. And so that helps. I think that helps people when I've been consulting on exterior paint colors, is just to say, let's get a handle on what we're choosing and what effect you want. And then I find it really interesting to say, you know, let's look around, look at your neighbor's houses. What are you drawn to? Because sometimes people think they like something, but it's not in keeping with their architecture of their house. And they'll say, okay, well, they'll show me a house that they like. And I'll say, well, you like that house, but look, that fascia is the same color as the roof. And so there's actually only three colors on that house. And you've told me you want five colors. And so if that's the case, what is, you know, it's kind of like working with clients to help them understand what it is they like and what that effect is going to be. It's not mm-hmm. a quick process, like
no,
Diane said, at
right.
all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then also thinking about your front door. Do you want it to be stained or painted, or is it just going to match the trim color? Or, I mean, a lot of houses in, you know, especially modern houses, that's kind of almost like you just dip the house in one color. So everything is the same color. And so it's, you know, very monochromatic. Can look really cool too. So there's just different things you have to think about. There's also the soffit, which is the overhang around where the roof is. It can vary between 1 foot to being really deep at 4 foot. Sometimes that might be like a stained tongue and groove is really nice, depending on what the design of the house is, or maybe it's a painted wood, or it could just be smooth hardy board panels with 1x2 pieces at the joints. And so you have to think about that color as well. And then there's the porch ceiling color.
And then there's the porch itself, whether it's a poured concrete porch, whether it's a tiled porch, all of those
brick
are
pavers.
Yeah, brick pavers. Those are all colors that come into play. Mm-hmm. So it's a varied and emotional process to go through and kind of make sure that that's right.
Yeah, we just recently finished a house and we had really big porches on the back. And since the very beginning of the project, one of the owners had said, I want a light blue ceiling in my porch. That's what it's going to be, because we all know that is an emotional response, right? Because those are all those cool old houses you sit on the porches.
Yeah, and they're charming.
They're light blue, mm-hmm. and there's various reasons for it, whether it keeps
wasps away
or it was to keep the spirits so they knew to go out the sky. There's all kinds of different stories that come from that. But it's very longstanding traditional, and it was interesting because once it was all built and the style of the house was a little bit more mid-century modern, he said, yeah, I don't think we want to go that way. And we actually ended up – it's actually wood, and then we debated staining it, but then in the end we painted it. So
yeah, these are very – they can't be quick decisions.
It took a while to decide.
They can't be quick and emotional decisions. You've got to go along for the ride and see where you land. And, you decide you want the blue. I just painted at my new studio that – that is Teresa's Green by Farrow and Ball. Give a plug to Farrow and Ball. And it's a gorgeous color. It's kind of a blue-green. But that works on a 1901 bungalow-style house, but it wouldn't work everywhere. So knowing that in advance, you don't want to plan your house around what paint color you want your porch ceiling to be. Mm-hmm. And then I think Diane mentioned this too, but it's important too to, as she said, is look at it on cloudy days and sunny days, and maybe even at night with the outside lights on. I recently also painted a house a dark color, and it sort of made the house feel smaller, look smaller
right.
on the
yeah,
outside.
Definitely.
Which is okay because it's a beautiful color, but it's something to know. My 15-year-old son looked at it and said, "Where'd the house go? It's so much smaller." So it changes the way that the scale of the house looks. A white house will look bigger. A dark house will look smaller and more tidy.
Also, thinking about the environment around it, if there's a whole bunch of trees, a lot of times we've got a bunch of trees we're working on with the house. I mean, that really affects the color as well, all that green.
Yeah, you put a white up and it looks green because it's reflecting mm-hmm. the light from the green all
and
around.
And has a bunch of contrast. So,
yes.
Yeah, there's just so many things to think about.
Yeah, and I think too, there's a neighborhood in the town that in Austin that's called Hyde Park, and it's kind of known for having a lot of lovely little houses with a lot of beautiful trim work, and people fall in love with that look and they want to take that with them, and it literally doesn't work in other neighborhoods. It's the funniest thing. You'll say, okay, I know you want a Hyde Park house, but that means you have to move to Hyde Park because it just doesn't translate. So kind of staying appropriate is important. So on the interiors, we do the same thing that Diane was talking about is, we paint a lot of boards, a lot of Benjamin Moore, Sherwin-Williams, a lot of the paint lines, a lot of paint stores, the shops sell foam core boards that you can paint and get a sample color, and they paint those boards. We have a huge library of them that we keep, and we have mostly Benjamin Moore colors. There's some Farrow and Ball and some Sherwin-Williams. We even have Behr. Behr has a new line. We could do a whole podcast on other, paint lines and paint colors. And then there's paint finishes, which is one of near and dear to my heart subjects, but we can get into. But I like to know really well one particular paint line, so I know all the colors and the color names. And so I have this library of paint boards, or we paint boards that go along with whatever materials we're using in the house, whether it's the flooring or the tile or the countertops. And then we bring those boards to the job site when at the point where there are as many materials already installed as possible.
Yeah, because you want to see all of it in the different light as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we wait until the floors are installed. And maybe they're covered, but we can pull back the covering. Maybe there's even some swatches of the fabrics that we're going to use in this space, and we bring those along. And the countertops and the – if we don't have the materials installed, bringing the materials to the job site mm-hmm. works. And I think that's important too because it looks different when there's no house yet there and there's no windows up and you don't know what direction the light's coming from. So it's important to do it as far into the process as you can without the builder getting mad at you and having to wait for you. So we bring all those boards. Maybe we have, 50 or 60 when we show up or more. We try to edit them down. Maybe the architect and the interior designer try to do that together.
Yeah, before the homeowner shows up, because that's just going to overwhelm you.
It's overwhelming, yeah. So we quickly sort of try to edit down to what's working, what's right, but give the client options.
Yeah,
right?
There's still about 5 or 7, which is still kind of a little bit mind-blowing for them. But
yeah. And then pretty quickly you can say, well, you know, we've got these greens here, we've got these blues, we've got this these yellows. And they might look at it and say, God, I hated my Aunt Tilly and she had a whole yellow house. Her living room is yellow. Get that out of her. It's very emotional for people.
Yes.
They have an immediate reaction.
Yes. Color definitely is an immediate emotional response.
It triggers people. Yeah, for sure. So then we can say, well, Aunt Tilly's out. And then we say, okay, is this the direction you want to go? And then we kind of talk it through and look at it and maybe even leave the boards there for them to come back and look at again in a different light, a different time of day, maybe in a different mood, maybe after they've had some coffee, whatever it is.
Right.
It's not always a quick choice. And then I think those materials, what's interesting about it, I think, is that, you know, as Diane was saying, you might have an initial idea of what you want when you start. And ideally, you will choose your materials around some kind of an idea of color. And you will then have to circle back and make sure that still rings true to you and that it still feels right. And if you switch, that's okay. You need to kind of let go of these ideas that you start with. You might change your mind.
I also think, you know, kind of thinking about if you want it to feel calming or if you want it to feel like really exciting and rejuvenating, you know. So I think a lot of that plays into when you're talking about the mood that then gets set with, you know, the paint color you choose. You know, you may be every time I come home so stressed out after my whole day of work, I just want to walk into a calm house that
right.
immediately when I walk in the door, and then I go in my spa-like bathroom.
And that means different things to different people.
Yeah.
Some people think blue is calming. Some people
right.
think blue is stressful. Some people think white is calming. Some people think about handprints or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so another question we get a lot, Diane and I were talking about this earlier, is can I paint each room a different color? And the answer is maybe. It depends on the layout of your house, right? Because there's the architecture of your house and the corners and how the corners come together. And if there's trim, there's a rule, and I love rules. You can break them, but I love them. There's the trim, and we didn't even talk about the trim color, but there's a trim color to think about. There's the trim that goes up, or maybe there isn't, and you need to have a clean spot to stop the paint color.
Right.
So usually you stop it at a trim, wouldn't you, Diane?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Or it is maybe
at
where the wall ends. Or
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have more of an open plan, you're going to need to do one color for that whole space.
Yeah, and then you have to think about the fact that that also might mean that you have to take that same color up the stairs because
right.
there isn't a stop
and
at the stairs.
And then to the hallway.
It's an open staircase. Mm-hmm. And down the bedroom hall.
Yeah.
So it becomes a challenge. I think it's important to talk to your architect about that early on, or your interior designer if you're just doing a renovation, or that, you know, look, I'm going to want to paint. I want this living room to be a pale blue, but I don't want my stair hall to be that. We may have to add a trim. We may have to
mm-hmm.
add some kind of a way for the paint colors to stop and change. I've seen too many broken hearts when I come in to do a consultation on paint and people say, oh, I wanted a red dining room, but their red dining room opens immediately into their living room, which opens immediately into their kitchen, which their kitchen cabinets look terrible with red. And they know that and they don't want that. And you have to say, well, we can't. We either have to change the architecture of your home or add a trim or whatever
mm-hmm.
it is, which sounds crazy just for a paint color, but it's true. And you will feel it. You have all probably been in houses where you go, oh, I feel as though I'm on a, you know, roller coaster moving from room to room in a different color in every room. That can happen beautifully if you have doors and trim and if it's done thoughtfully. Same thing, you know, with wallpaper, any kind of a wall treatment. So that the answer is we love it. I do personally. I don't know how Diane feels when a different color
yeah,
is in a different
I do.
Room.
Well, I mean, and sometimes you have like kids' rooms and you mm-hmm. kind of want to help pick a color they like. Now, be careful if you let them choose the actual color because, you know, they're just going to pick like the brightest green or bubblegum pink and really that all in a room is a lot.
Just
And
yeah.
do you want them to really be calm and fall asleep? So, you know, think about those kinds of things.
Yeah, you try not to design to the moment they are, the mood they're in.
Remember the one house we did like, I think in the girls' bathroom, we did that bubblegum pink countertop, which was fantastic. And so she was super happy about that. And then we did a pale pink for the walls. So
That's
it
right.
worked beautifully.
Yeah. And that actually felt sophisticated
yeah,
in the end.
Yeah, it did.
And it worked. And then we do a green countertop?
Yeah, it was like a blue
bathroom.
Green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was
yeah.
really cool.
Which that was unique. Most people don't say, I want the color on the countertop.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, I want it on the wall so they can change it later. But this client, they were really into it. And it works. And it works long
term. Yeah, it
looked
great.
So,
what about ceilings, Amity?
Yeah, that's a good question. So,
because there's lots of rules and theories about ceilings.
So if you don't, so I will tout the rules. If there isn't a trim at the top of your ceiling, you know, like a crown molding, you can add a little trim detail if you want to create a little bit of a tray around, you know, flat on the ceiling, run a trim so that you can have a different color on the ceiling and the walls. But really the rule is they should be the same if there's not a trim piece there.
Oh, really?
That is the rule.
So if you have like a deep, dark, saturated purple, the ceiling should be purple?
Unfortunately, a lot of people don't like that. It should be a color. It certainly can't go right to white. So I think you could do a paler tone, maybe a pink or a pale blue or something that feels different. But really, they're supposed to be the same color.
What does it mean? So like when they say it's 50% or 75%, what does that mean?
Yeah. So a lot of people do that. That is not the schooling I had coming up in design. So we always choose a different color. When I say that, I guess I mean we don't just cut down on the wall color to do the ceiling.
And what does that mean?
Oh, that just means they take a decorator's white or another color. Decorator's white, by the way, is the name of a paint color, a white, and mix it in to the wall color to create a lighter tone of that same color to do the ceiling so that the ceiling doesn't feel like it's coming down on you. I disagree with that thinking. I think you can just choose a lighter color that already exists versus making your own. And again, this is like one of my favorite subjects, but, you know, you really want to make sure that you know exactly what paint colors you have on your walls. And if you start mixing your own, it can get very difficult later to match that again with a different painter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to know your formula. What was the paint? And so you don't, if you start mixing it yourself, which I've had clients do, kind of, oh, I like this tone, like they're doing a painting, you know, an oil painting or something, then they end up with something they can't recreate. And so that's just an important kind of maintenance kind of thing. But yes, if there's no difference, you really are supposed to paint everything the same
color.
So
you couldn't just have all your ceilings be white and then the walls are...
Not without a trim, not without some kind of separation. Hmm. That's the rule. Now, we can break rules and we do it all the time. So I'm not saying you can't break the rule. I'm just sharing the rules.
Okay.
Because it's important to know. And there are reasons for them. So that's important. But again, same time, we can break those rules. We can lean into something fun on a ceiling. You can do wallpaper on a ceiling. You can put a beadboard on a ceiling. There's a lot of different things. You just want to make sure you think of it and take it into account. And so sometimes that is a great, you know, Diane mentioned ceilings. Maybe start thinking about your interior spaces that way, starting with the ceiling. Just like when we were talking about exterior, we're talking about the roof first. Think about what you want your ceilings to be like. That'll help you decide if you need a trim. It can be a modern-looking trim. It doesn't have to be a fancy gooped-up crown molding. But then what color you want or what wallpaper you want on the walls and move on to the floor. So kind of comprehensively thinking about your space from top to bottom, I think, is helpful.
And then talking about the different sheens, gloss, semi-gloss, can you talk about that?
Yeah. So I think that my favorite is always to do a flat on the wall, flat finish, and every paint line has a different type of paint. And like I say, I could do an entire TED talk on all of the paint colors and different paint lines and the different options and what they call them. But as flat as possible is appropriate for walls.
And what does that
and
mean?
And ceilings. So that just means no sheen at all, or as low sheen as you can get. And then for trim, which we didn't talk about too much, but trim should have a satin sheen to it. It used to be that you needed oil-based painting. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that anymore. There's beautiful latex and blend options, latex and water, for trims that hold up really well. There's a paint type called ScuffX that you can use. So there's a lot that gets very technical and interesting to me to choose the actual finish. But we do flat walls typically, and then doors and door trims and crown moldings and baseboards get a satin finish. And then you can do something really fabulous. If you skim coat your walls and make them perfect, you can do a semi-gloss or a high gloss. The rule tends to be the shinier the finish, the more flaws are shown. So if you want a really high-end looking finish, you have to have nice walls, but a flat finish is really the best. And the flat's going to hide the damage the best.
Yeah, because sometimes I've had houses where we do pretty high gloss on the doors. Like there'll be a black door that has all this detail.
Beautiful. Yeah, doors take paint really beautifully. And so those are a little bit easier than sheetrock. Sheetrock can show wear and tear a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that's a great one. And then just to kind of make sure we talk about this, what are you seeing, Diane, as far as trends? I mean, you know, we work with some of the same clients. We work with different clients. What are you seeing?
Well, for the exterior, I mean, of course, it's there has been a lot of white with the black windows.
Yeah.
Been very popular. But I'm starting to get people saying, I don't want the white house anymore. And then, like Amity said, there's been some of the dark color movement coming in, which almost I think some people are starting to really like the idea of a really saturated color. I think that gives another emotional response and people really like it. And it was kind of, you know, I think, you know, we talked about in the modern versus contemporary, back then they had a lot of those saturated colors, right? The avocado, the mustard yellow, and I feel like some of those are coming back as well.
I think a lot of those sort of moodier tones that feel almost like 30s, 40s period are coming back. I think there's a trend towards painting trims and walls the same color, but maybe doing a different sheen on each versus painting the trims a white or some sort of a neutral on the walls another color. There's also a lot of beautiful colored trims I see going. People are doing, you know, maybe they're doing a blue door trim, baseboard, and crown molding throughout the whole house and then just painting the walls a color. So really leaning into color, I think people are doing that more. And it depends on the period of the house and the
also
style.
Actually cabinets. We didn't really talk about cabinets, but there's a lot of painted cabinets out there now. And so that, what kind of finish do you do on that?
We do a satin finish typically
satin still?
On that. Yeah, unless you want a really, really fancy glossy bar or something. And then you want, maybe you'll do a semi-gloss or a high gloss.
But also thinking about those colors and, you know, sometimes we paint the island like a darker, more saturated color and the cabinets around are a lighter, more neutral color.
Yeah, or maybe the upper cabinets are a lighter, more neutral so you don't get that weight coming in at you.
That too.
But those are all things to think about. There's a lot of things to paint. There's a lot of different finishes to know. It can get complicated, but, you know, there's a lot of good advice out there. And I find it really fascinating. And also just go to the Benjamin Moore store or the Farrow & Ball seller if you have one near you, and have a conversation with the people who work there. Sometimes they're really, really knowledgeable, and they work with professional painters, and so they know what people are buying and doing. Now, don't talk to the ones doing the spec homes. Talk to the ones that are doing the real custom work. When you say, Diane, you have to be careful of that. And I wouldn't always, this sounds very suspicious of me, I wouldn't always trust the painter because you need to know what their background is and what types of homes they've been painting and where they're getting their information, because you can get different answers from different painters. One last thing to say about painters too is, you get what you pay for.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We should talk about painters. There's
Absolutely.
The A team, the B team, and the
D team,
F team.
F team. Yeah. Yeah, there's, you know, how often have you heard, Diane, in your budget meetings? Why is the painting so expensive?
How can it cost this much to paint the house? I just did this other house for such and such amount.
And it looks like it. No, I'm sorry. We're being very blasé, but it's true. It's you get what you pay for, and not all painters are the same.
And a lot of times the builders will have an A and a B team, and it depends on the design of the house and how intricate things are. And so how specially painted does it need to be to make sure you're happy with the outcome? Or are we okay with the B team who still does a really great job? It's just that we don't have all this crazy detail or something we have to deal with. Or sometimes we have a very detail-oriented homeowner who just really wants that stellar paint job, and the builder knows if I go with the B team, I just know they're probably just not going to be happy with it because they want
perfection.
All this perfection.
Yeah, and that's actually a good point. You have to know. I would certainly wouldn't let just a regular wall painter person who hasn't done a lot of cabinetry, don't let them touch your cabinets.
No, no.
Cabinets are not easy. They are difficult. That when people are, their kind of hats blow off their head when they see the cost of painting cabinets. Trust me, it's worth it. It is a tricky thing to do. It takes a lot of labor and time and sanding between coats and spraying and changing out the spray. Or then maybe they're doing it by hand and they're painting it by hand.
Also, there's some cabinet shops that finish it in their shops
That's
for you,
true.
Which also comes out stellar.
Yeah, beautiful. So these are definitely conversations to have with whoever it is you're working with. But it is definitely something you should make sure that you have plenty of budget for. It's always a shame when people do a lovely build out and then the last person who has their hands on it is the painter, and a really beautiful millwork design can really get destroyed if you don't have a high quality painter to do the finish outs.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely important.
Yes, good point. Thanks for bringing that up.
I think that's all we have for you today. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio, and together, partners at Amity Kett.